Hey, y'all. Welcome to another edition of Deep Fat Fried. Today, we're going to be looking at some 80s horror movies in honor of Halloween, which was yesterday.
Spooky.
Not just any horror movies, though, TJ. Not just any.
No, 80s horror movies.
Limited to one decade, the 1980s.
The best decade for
horror. The best decade of horror.
Not the 1880s, the 1980s.
So what makes the 80s a uniquely great era for horror movies?
There was room for all kinds of budget in the horror movie genre at this time. The lack of over-reliance on CGI and cheap camera tricks and, like, actually creating these great in-camera effects was pretty much the standard.
The practical effects in a lot of these horror movies is just awesome.
Yeah. And even in the ones where it's not great, I like the reliance on makeup and more practical ways of doing things than I do on the kind of current shaky cam cutaway style.
Well, it feels like it's more there. Like when you're talking about a horror movie, even if it's campy or over the top, or if it's meant to be like really, truly scary, it's like you feel like the creatures or whatever it is actually in the room with the person. The actor is reacting to something that's actually physically there.
Right.
Right. Horror is supposed to have a kind of like visceral quality to it.
And yeah, when you have CGI, it lacks that.
You know it's not there. You know it has no weight. You know it's not really in the room.
It's like when they did the Thing remake. It's like, you know, they did it, which is actually the 1980s one's actually a remake of the 50s one.
Right.
So you have the 2011, whatever the fuck
which
it is.
Which is a prequel, really. Yeah. A prequel slash remake.
Yeah, of the 80s thing. And the fact that they had practical effects for that, but then when they went with the 2011 or whatever version it was all CGI, and it doesn't really hit home because they're looking at a fucking tennis ball or something.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I mean, it just sucks. It sucks so bad that a movie made in 1982 kicks the shit in terms of special effects out of a movie made in 2011.
I mean, there are a number of movies on the slate that we're going to take a look at tonight that you could say the same thing about in terms of their visual effects. It was a real peak in the art of that practical effects magic.
Yeah.
And there's really nothing today that looks anything like it because it's so expensive to find people to do it now when you can just as easily have a city digitally made rather than an entire miniature city made.
I agree with that. And, you know, horror has always been a concept-driven genre as well. Like, a lot of times, you know, especially when you're not talking about a franchise, even a lot of the franchises kind of started off as, like, kind of a concept movie, you know?
Right.
And sometimes the concept is real simple, like a bunch of people go to a random place and get picked off one by a killer or something. But a lot of these movies have, like, some kind of crazy concept, like you know, The Shining or Pumpkinhead or Nightmare on Elm Street has a particularly interesting concept. And, you know, now the concepts that they use are just so lame. Like, you guys seen this advertising for this fucking movie where it's like, it's an app that tells you when you're going to die and shit.
Yeah, we looked at that during a trailer.
It's hipping with the kids. It's what the kids want. They're all on the apps, right?
I mean, like,
what is this?
An app isn't fucking scary, dude. There's nothing scary about a fucking app. I don't care what it does. I don't care if you fucking the minute you download the app, a fucking demon pops out of the fucking phone and rips your head off. I mean, it's not scary.
In the defense of that movie and that kind of a concept, I think it can be successful. It just depends on the angle that you take with it.
Maybe.
Like that stupid movie, and I'll defend it till the day I die, dude, Unfriended, the Facebook horror movie.
You're about the only one on Earth who likes
that
movie. Oh, my
God, dude. It's totally different. It's totally unique. You've never seen a movie from the perspective that movie portrays itself. It's, you know, so it can work. It did manage to make that seem scary in some ways.
Okay.
But
I've never seen it, so I couldn't really comment one way or the other.
I just know it's been pretty roundly panned by most people.
Well, I mean,
most
just because
most people are stupid, TJ.
You know, TJ, a lot of things are misunderstood the time they come out.
Yeah. Not every work of genius is appreciated in its own time.
It's not. I mean, 20 years from now, people might look back and say Unfriended was a brilliant film.
Yeah.
Well, Paul's saying it now, so.
It is.
So maybe Paul will be right 20 years from now.
Good but old Unfriended.
I think overall, though, we don't see a lot of, like, cool concepts for horror movies like we used to. there's like an attitude to the 80s horror movie. Like, it's like certain eras just lend themselves to certain genres in weird ways. Like, obviously, we live in the age of the fucking superhero movie right now.
It's action, basically.
Yeah, it's an action movie, but it's like a certain kind of action movie. There's also the 80s had their own kind of take on the action movie, too.
Which, you know, yeah, that could be a whole list in itself.
I don't know. There's a sense of, like, fun in movies. Yeah. Even if you were watching a scary movie, like, a movie really was, it was more about having a good time in the 80s, I feel like. It's like a lot of stuff is more weighty and serious and stuff.
And there's a lot of weighty, serious stuff on our list here tonight. Though.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, there was a versatility in the 80s.
There was a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing for a lot of these 80s horror, but not all of the ones we're talking about, but there's definitely kind of like a nod to that, you know, that they're playing up things for the audience. They know the audience is going to, the people that are going to be watching this are going to enjoy these parts of the film.
I mean, very few movies on this list don't have some kind of sense of humor about themselves. I think, you know, let me just show people the list, actually. Let me explain what's going on here. I think I can make it a little bigger so it's a little easier to read for people. That'll do.
Hellraiser!
So, I don't know what's going on with this formatting, but so we got 20 movies here, and the way we did this is each of us made a list of 10 movies that we wanted. You know, basically our own personal 10 list off the top of our heads. Now, I actually cheated and did like 13 movies.
You piece of shit, TJ.
But, you know, for the most part, that's what we did. So, as you can see, there was quite a lot of overlap. Because there ain't 30 movies here. There's only 20. So some of these movies were only championed by one person. Some of them were championed by two. And a few of them were actually championed by all three of us.
So those are probably easy selections there.
Yeah, so I think we can assume those will probably make the cut, but that we're going to go through methodically, and we're going to look at these one by one. We got 20. We got to get rid of half of them, and then we have to decide on the order. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to look at their trailers, and then we're going to kind of discuss them, discuss the movie, why we think it fucking has a place on this list, or why we think it doesn't.
I'll be honest with you. Just looking at the list, I mean, it's going to be difficult because I've seen all these movies with the exception of The Gate, and I like all of these movies.
Yeah, I don't think there's any movie on here I don't like. Yeah, every movie on here I'd watch. So, I don't know, maybe with the exception of From Beyond, because I don't really remember that one very well.
Yeah, I've never seen From Beyond. That's a Scotty original.
I think you guys would enjoy it, but
maybe. I gotta check that out. So, anyway, let's just get right to it. So the first one we're going to look at is Hellraiser from 1987.
Great movie.
And as you guys probably know out there, Paul, on his Cinema for Cynics channel, put out
a comprehensive review of the entire Hellraiser franchise.
He watched every single Hellraiser film. What was your favorite again, Paul? Wasn't it the second one?
One and two are usually, you know, hard to pick. From me, but
they're kind of connected. Well, you chose the first one, so obviously that must be the favorite.
Yep. And the reason that I put it on here was because I think it kind of typifies something about the 80s, where they had this kind of villain that captured the minds and hearts of the people that were fans of the franchise. So, I mean, I don't know if you want to watch the trailer for Hellraiser, and then we can discuss it, or how do you want to
take
a
little look at it? Hold on, let's get this formatted correctly because it wants to. I don't know what it wants to do.
TJ has committed yet another
error.
I have seen the future of horror. His name is Clive Barker.
Damn. Stephen King.
Dude, that
high
endorsement
praise.
Alone.
High fucking praise.
Clive Barker milked that endorsement for all it was worth, by the way.
Wouldn't you?
Damn right he did.
Yeah, obviously.
If Stephen King endorsed my fucking horror movie, I would be fucking putting that in the front of my trailer as well.
It's funny because Clive Barker really, he definitely had some accomplishments, but in the long run, he really didn't amount to much.
No, he didn't really do much with it, but this is a great movie. Oh, shit.
Hellraiser. The beyond any terror you have imagined. A nightmare.
No.
Unlike anything you have witnessed. Is born. Because within these walls, the unholy is unleashed.
I love it.
Hell
dude.
Yes. Sign me up. Dude, that's an awesome
Such
trailer.
Gravitas, man.
Yeah.
I can't believe they thought they could recast him in those later ones.
They're so
that's
stupid.
So silly.
Yeah, that's great. Great read, great trailer. Love the fucking old school trailer voice. Man, I really miss when trailers were near. I think you know what killed that fucking style of trailer was that in the world shit.
In a
oh,
world.
Yeah.
People got so sick of hearing, in a world,
yeah,
that now...
They didn't used to do that shit, though.
Right. That didn't have no in a world in it.
Nope.
You don't need that shit. But man, I kind of missed the trailer guy when it was like, coming soon to a theater near you.
I mean, this one is a nostalgia pick for me.
Hellraiser.
This one sunk its hooks into me, no pun intended, at a real young age. It's sprinkled with odd sexuality and stuff, so yep. It probably, you know, tickled my fancy because of that. But it's very much like...
This movie's naughty.
Yeah.
It's BDSM.
I mean, it really did feel that way, though. It felt I was watching something I ought not be watching.
That's
you
perfect.
Know what I mean?
That's perfect.
That's what you want in a horror movie,
at that
right?
age.
Yeah. And so it's got a special place in my heart because of that. I love some of the practical effects in the movie. You'll hear that a lot tonight, probably.
Oh, yeah.
There's a, you know, one of the guys is like basically a skinless corpse in this. The guy Frank in the movie ends up kind of being resurrected.
Oh, he's great, dude.
And
that
whole prosthetic is just great. You know, it makes it just look
and
like.
And it's transformative throughout the film.
Right, yeah. He gets more and more human as the film goes on, as she feeds him people. And it's a pretty simple, you know, shoot. It's not a real locational movie. There's most of it is shot in this one house. So it's definitely got that slasher running through the house, killing everybody type of feel.
Pinhead's awesome. The other Cenobites are awesome.
They're very lightly sprinkled throughout this movie, which I think,
right.
You know.
The trailer kind of makes it look like you're going to spend a lot more time with them than you actually do in the movie.
Yeah, but it doesn't really hurt the movie, in my opinion. I mean, maybe a little bit, but the scenes that they are in are pretty impactful as a result of them
right.
not being
better
every
leave
scene.
People wanting more, yeah.
And just the concept of that, just Pinhead and these other Cenobites that do this kind of BDSM torture for sinful people. Yeah. You know, there's 10 movies now.
And it's kind of like...
And 11th in the mix.
There's kind of like this whole thing about like it almost being like the sinners want to be punished, you know?
Oh,
right.
It's like,
yeah.
Oh, this is like the pleasure of hell. Like you've been a naughty boy or now you get fucking flagellated for all eternity for your naughtiness or whatever.
But you love it at the same time.
Yeah. It's like, oh yes, this is what I fucking deserve. Yeah. You know? So it's like the pleasures of hell.
And it's got
quote unquote.
It's got some things mixed in, but just like it doesn't overstay its welcome in a lot of that stuff. Like it has like the scene where they get the box, you know, it's like the old Chinese man, like buy the box. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have so many little nice touches. You know, actually, was in this movie, TJ, is the dad is Andrew Robinson, the guy that plays Garrick, or played Garrick on Deep Space Nine.
Oh, yeah, cool.
He was the dad.
Yeah.
Which I was like, kind of like, oh, yeah, I remember that dude. So,
oh, that dude. He's so awesome.
Like, I agree with Paul. The practical effects are cool. The Cenobites, they don't, it's not, the, you know, I would like to see more of them, but it's not so, like, they're definitely impactful. And it's not like they overdo them, but it's not like they underuse them. It's like, I just feel like everything in this movie, for the most part, hits the right stride and the right notes, and it's not overly long. And you don't just you just enjoy this movie. It's movies you can just watch. You enjoy it. You understand it, and it's like it's just fun.
Yeah, the little puzzle box was a cool gimmick too, that I think captured people's imaginations. This idea of some innocuous little brain teaser of a toy being the, you know, kind of portal to the hell dimension or whatever the fuck. I don't know. There's just it's a kind of a unique concept. It's the coolest like demon concept I can think of.
It's definitely,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, maybe, Pazuzu. is the only one
Pazuzu.
That I would.
Well, I, you know, strange I didn't see it, but Demon Knight, of course, that's probably the only one better, if you want to be honest.
I don't know, dude. Fuck Demon,
Demon
Knight.
Demon Knight was horrible, dude.
I like Demon Knight, though.
I don't know how you like Demon Knight, because I watched that. That was a fucking Paul's like, Demon Knight's great. I go watch it. I'm like, that was fucking horrible.
Dude, no, Demon Knight, dude. See, we got different tastes in horror movies, and this one's a little schlocky.
Demon Knight was the 90s, wasn't it?
No, not the original.
Demon Knight was the 90s, for sure.
What? I think the original Demon Knight was in the
80s. We're talking about the Tales from the Crypt movie,
yeah,
right?
Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, no, no, no. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about...
Night of the Demons?
Night of the Demons, yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, my mistake.
Dude, you missed out on Night of the Demons, dude. You missed the point.
Okay, yeah, that explains a lot. It's like, I watched this other movie, and I'm like, what the fuck are they talking about? No, I didn't watch that
one. Dude, you can't tell me you weren't blown away by the lipstick nipple scene, dude.
Oh, my God, dude.
She puts a whole fucking thing, a tube of lipstick, into her nipple, dude.
Whoa.
That was a weird scene.
When have you ever seen that in a movie?
I haven't seen that.
Other
than that.
The fact that they can't climb over a fucking wall until the end of the movie is something I don't get.
All right. So, Hellraiser.
I know.
High wall.
So, what do you guys think at this point?
It'd be hard. I mean, I didn't put it on my list, but it'd be hard to cut Hellraiser just right off the bat.
I mean, yeah, I think we should probably go discuss these before we do our
cuts. You want to discuss them all and then
do
the
cuts? I think we should just go through our list.
All right. So, let's talk about
it. So, we get a little taste of everything.
Well, let's talk about do you want to talk really briefly about why Hellraiser might not make the cut, or do you want to just move on to the next one?
I don't think we're at that point. Let's move on to the next
one. All right. Let's just move on to the next one.
Okay, next one is Killer Clowns from Outer Space from 1988.